Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Wednesday morning to you all as we're back here recapping the week so far in WWE as we have a big show coming up this weekend for NXT Halloween Havoc going down live in Hershey, Pennsylvania, as we get ready for also Crown Jewel going down that Saturday as well, as we're inching closer and closer to the final major PLE of the Year Survivor Series going down in Vancouver at the end of November. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back, as always, on the wrap, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I should have been distracted, Scott, today because it is opening night. The King plays. The Prince has already seen the floor. It's a glorious day. So I'm going to be here. But if the King dunks and I jump, don't be surprised.
And dear listeners out there, I'm watching Scott's head swivel right now like an ostrich as he's watching the game opening night. He's distracted right now, just trying to see what's going on. And if you hear like moments of silence when Scott's supposed to be talking, this is why, because he has his mind elsewhere. Because as he just said, it is opening night. The NBA regular season has begun. I forgot that. Tonight is the start of a brand new season for the NBA. The Lakers right now are leading Minnesota for now. We'll see how long that will last as LeBron tries to go after a fifth championship this season. He will fall short.
No, hey, you know what? I don't know. Technically, he already has his fifth. You know, he won the IST, so we will be defending our IST title. We'll be looking to go back-to-back, something the Celtics won't do. Listen, we have our 18. They have 18. As far as I'm concerned, it's still all tied up.
No, that's incorrect. We do not count in-season tournament as a championship with their fake rings and their banner. We do not count that as a championship, so stop trying it. But, hey, the Lakers will be your defending tournament champions, and they'll eke by into the playoffs in the eighth seed. And he has no defense because he knows I'm not
all I
wrong.
Know is LeBron is one championship away from Jordan.
Well, that's nice. In your mind, he's two away, but let's be for real. All right, so is Scott's on here already dying on the hill to begin night one of many for the NBA? Let's get to the main topic at hand, which is WWE, as the countdown continues heading into Crown Jewel going down on November 2nd. But let's talk about what's been going on regarding the Bloodline and Jey Uso making a cameo appearance on Friday Night SmackDown out of nowhere as he talks to baby brother Solo about running the family business and how he needs to do a better job of keeping things in check and understanding the importance of what it means to be in the Bloodline, the importance of family and not crossing any lines and doing the right thing and not being so gritty over power. And Solo wasn't hearing it. And as Scott disappears for a second, I got things under control as Jay basically was trying to stay out of the family business for the most part, trying to keep his nose clean, but also acknowledging that baby brother is doing the absolute most right now as Scott hops back in because LeBron jinxed him, as I figured he would on this show, as I'm talking about Jey Uso appearing on SmackDown this past Friday, confronting the new bloodline as he's trying to get baby brother in check to no avail. And eventually we do have that backstage confrontation between Jay, Jimmy, and Roman. And Roman acknowledging Jay and saying, "We're proud of you. Look at you with a singles championship. Look at you making us proud in the family." And Jay was not having that as he told Solo, "Listen, I left the bloodline. I left the family and I became champion. And you can do the same thing. You just got to get out from this guy's shadow and stop goading him into a fight that you really don't want to be in." But it's all leading to what we got on this past Monday's Raw. But Scott, your thoughts on Jay making a very interesting appearance on SmackDown as we kind of jumped a couple of steps into Jimmy meeting Jay backstage on Monday Night Raw, which was clearly a pre-tape that was happening, only for Jay to come up and dive into business that I thought he didn't care about anymore.
I thought Jay brought good energy. I thought it was a nice surprise for the crowd. And, you know, again, I thought Solo was real good in just his facials. Fatu was great in his facials. I like Jay, you know, singling him out, specifically saying there's a reason we didn't bring him along, makes him seem more dangerous. So I thought the segment was real good. And, you know, me personally, we know what ends up happening, but the way they set it up, I wouldn't have minded if Fatu was the guy who would have taken the title off Jay, but it is what it is. But the segment was very good, and Jey Uso felt like a big deal right here.
Yes, he flaunted the championship and said, "Listen, I left the family, and I became a solo champion on my own, and maybe this can work for you too. Like, there's a reason why we didn't have Tama Tonga and Tongaloa in the mix, and Jacob Fatu, he threatened to whoop on sight as to we didn't go to this side of the family for a reason." So you're definitely taking things a little bit too far. But I enjoyed the segment too. Jay was very confident. He was super over. And I have been very hard on Solo recently regarding the presentation of his character. But I think recently, for him, a light bulb has also gone off in that you will never be Roman Reigns. You can't be that version of the Tribal Chief. I think he's leaning into a bit of camp, which is good with the character, that he is naturally funny, and he's leaning into that a bit more, and he's not being so serious. Because I think the presentation was him being super serious at the table, trying to be like a mafia boss, which I did not buy into. But him being this kind of cheeky asshole, knowing that, yeah, I'll never be my cousin, but I'll do it my own way, that is completely him. I think that's the way to go. We'll talk about it for Monday Night Raw in terms of when he made his appearance. But I think the Solo is getting a bit more comfortable realizing that he's not cosplaying Roman and just being himself in a different way by way of the Tribal Chief.
No, that's actually a really good point. You know, Roman is definitely just has a cool swag to him that very few, if anybody, can really replicate. And with Solo, and I think that's a really good observation you made, Solo is a little bit more unhinged. Like, that's a little bit more of what he is. It's almost like the Joker's, you know, Heath Ledger has a different swag than Jack does. You know, their Jokers are completely different. Jack's a little bit more unhinged, a little bit more louder. Heath is a little bit more quieter, but he got a swag to him. We're like, yeah, let me keep an eye on him. Never forget, he can make a pencil disappear very quickly. So I think that's a very good observation. And I think it's spot on too. And Solo is kind of leaning into that more. Like, I know we'll get to when we get the Raw, but when he pulls out the tickets and he's like, "Look, I got two tickets, one for me and one for him." I was great. That was great.
That got me. Like, I legitimately laughed out loud when I saw that. We'll talk about it as well. And then he mocked his brother with yeet. It's just like great. He's getting the hang of the character. And I think by loosening it up, and saying, like, listen, I'm not going to be Roman. I don't have that kind of swag and cool factor. But I can be like this really ham hawk out here thinking I'm the shit and I'm really not. But I have these crazy cousins behind me that can run the show on my behalf. Like, he's figuring it out. And it's called trial and error. And when you find your sweet spot, you're going to get there. And I think Solo's finally found it. I can stop calling him Timu Roman, Timu Bloodline. Like, y'all are yourselves now. And that's good to see. So I'm glad they kind of found their footing by not being who they want to be via the original Bloodline, because you can't replicate that. There's no way you can. You got to find your own way as personalities and stand on your own. And so far, in the last few weeks, I feel as if they're finding their way as their own faction, especially Solo being the leader.
Yeah, 100%. And that, I mean, that's a crew. And whenever Solo gets kicked out, because I think that is a chapter where Solo gets kicked out and reunites with his family, them three have a kind of swag to them. So it all works. Everything has worked out really well. And Tongaloa being able to be in a main event act and fit in is a testament in of itself.
It's a miracle, really.
That's a strong word.
It's a miracle. I mean, he's had some moments that made us wonder, was this going to work? And he's recovered nicely. I mean, the guy climbed a ladder and survived. He was shaking
Stood on top of it.
Yes, he did. And he was shaking the whole time like a baby leaf, but he made it through. So I know that he's got what it takes to at least survive. So good for him. And I'm going to shade that man. At least he's surviving. You know, Tama Tonga is doing the heavy lifting and Jacob Fatu is doing what he needs to do. But, you know, he's just along for the ride. And that's okay. Do your job by just being present. Just stay present and you doing your job.
He get an A on the group project, I can tell you that. So
yes, that's exactly what this is.
I tell you that.
You know, he offered no research. He didn't do a thesis. He didn't do a lick of research, but he was there for the final presentation and got there to get that A by association. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, enough of me dragging Tongaloa. I'm sure he didn't expect that tonight. My smoke went from Solo to him now, and that's out of love. Because listen, everybody knows their role, and he is the court jester of the Bloodline. Good for you. I'm just saying. Well, one for the road.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Here you go, buddy. I'm done. Promise.
I throw dirt on you one more time before I move on. As we move on to Lash Legend versus Piper Niven, you know, the push of NXT talent continues, as we'll get to for NXT later. And I thought that Lash looked impressive during this match. We had Jade and Bianca Belair, the reigning defending women's tag team champions at ringside, watching this match unfold. And the fans who are unfamiliar with Lash was able to pop for the key power spots she did, lifting up Piper twice and then lifting her up for the win in a very impressive finisher. So it appears, and maybe possibly they are testing the waters for a possible full-time call-up for Lash and Jakara Jackson. I do like it because we are actually building stories surrounding various teams in the women's tag division, which I like to see. We've been talking about this since those belts were created. Like, we need something underneath. The champions need viable challengers. And we're seeing that we have at least three teams up and ready to go. And whenever the time comes for Bianca and Jay to drop those titles, one of those teams could win and damage control. Lash and Jakara, and now Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. If that happens, at least you have possible champions that can carry things.
You know, a couple weeks ago, everybody freaked out when the four Black Queens had a literal 123 seconds to work. And, you know, I was not one of those people, because I was like, let's just see what happens, man. Like, especially the way everything played out. And I have to say, I think the way everything has played out, and again, we've seen what happened Monday and Tuesday night. I still don't have a problem with it. And I think everything is going to come to fruition the way it's supposed to. And I think the team that does end up taking the titles off of Bianca and Jade is probably going to mess around and be Lash and Jakar. Like, that's it just seems like the cards are lining up for it, the way it's shaping up. We're probably going to get a three-way on Sunday, maybe added, you know. So, hey, man, all I'm saying is what they've done with this tag team, the exposure they've gotten over the last couple weeks, especially on top of the outrage that you add on top of it, I think it's worked. You've got a brand new tag team that the crowd is ready to get behind. Lash hitting a big move like that, showing off the strength, being on all three shows. Yeah, this has worked out very well for them.
Nice integration, very smooth. It was a surprise, but in a good way. I still feel a way about the 3-minute special, but they're building upon it. That was my primary concern. Like, make it make sense to me, and then I can forgive it. And I'm starting to forgive it. If we're going to get a 3-way, maybe a 4-way with Chelsea and Piper in the mix as well. But I also got this thought to pop into my head as well, Scott. So we have all these tag teams beefing right now, and it looks like we're not going to get what we thought we were going to get heading into Halloween Havoc, because the card is already kind of full. But I'm thinking about Survivor Series. I'm thinking about War Games. Could it be possible that these teams that are beefing could be a part of this year's War Games?
Let me ask you this. Is there a women's feud that is deserving of a War Games match right now?
For Monday Night Raw, if that question was asked to me 3 months ago, possibly Judgment Day. That's not possible now. What I'm seeing with Jakara and Lash, Chelsea and Piper, Damage Control, Bianca and Jade, if you pick 4 people to be a team versus the other 4, and they can be like strange bedfellows in that situation, you could do a makeshift War Games, or you just do the one. But knowing Triple H, he's going to do 2. And I feel like this one, with what they're doing, has more viability than what could have been Judgment Day. That's not happening now. That's a dead concept because they kind of watered down everything. This one, I feel potential, because I don't see a championship match anytime soon. Is that happening in Halloween Havoc? I don't see it happening at Survivor Series, but I do see potentially a War Games situation.
So I'll say this. I think your War Games thing could be right, but if it does happen, it probably won't be them. It will probably be Liv, Raquel, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang versus Rhea. Rhea, Bianca, Jade, and probably Damage Control. That's probably would be who I think the 10. I don't think they would put Lash and Jakar in that spot. That's a if it was NXT, they would do it. That's a great NXT War Games match. I don't know if they have enough faith to do that on the main roster. That's a big spot right there.
It is, but you know what? Sometimes training wheels are meant to come off.
No doubt.
In big moments. No doubt. And you're around seasoned vets that are going to cover your butts. So it's like, I would prefer that scenario versus is that slapdash Survivor Series match, which would be a Paul Levesque special. It would be.
Now, listen, I've been calling for that for a while. Now, that's, and you know, you, okay. Now you could do that in whichever team. You could do your 4 teams and take Bianca and Jade out of it. And you do an 8-woman tag. Traditional Survivor Series rules, and whichever team survives, they get the title shot. You know, if the winning team wins, then you know they'll face each other on Raw or SmackDown to determine the champ. But either way, you're getting a women's title shot out of it. You get 4 teams on Survivor Series. You have a traditional Survivor Series match, something different from the War Games, and the women have something that they can kind of have on their own while the men have the War Games this year, if that's the plan. But I I don't mind the traditional Survivor Series idea that you put out there.
Both work for me because there are stakes on the line and it makes sense. And it's about integrating what was Survivor Series for years versus War Games, which is now tied to this show, which I'm fine with. But if you're going to do the traditional Survivor Series tag team match, have some stakes attached to it, as we've been talking about for years as well. So they can go in a number of directions. You can do War Games. You can do a straight up tag team match. Either option works for me, but the goal should be, what is the incentive for me being in this match? What do I get for winning? Will I defend my titles against my fellow partners in a situation, or will the opponents who I'm going after would get that shot instead? I like both scenarios, and either one you can't go wrong with. And what's good about this is at least there is a story being built over weeks versus it being thrown together. There's been seed planting with four teams so far, and they all have a stake in this situation, which I like. And either scenario wins for me at the end of the day. The other scenario of Liv and Raquel and Rhea, and I'm kind of over it now because we hit the plateau. There's no going back. And honestly, they need to kill the feud. It's gone on too long.
Yeah. And the only thing is, it's like, if Rhea doesn't get this is kind of where you run into a problem with Rhea Ripley. When she's not the champion, she's, what is she doing? You know, Jade and Bianca, they've been able to kind of hold down that tag division. I think they've done a really good job with it. But what does Rhea do if she's not going after Liv? Like, who would you have Rhea go after if she's not going to be in the mix with Liv and Raquel right now? Like, what would her next big move be?
That is a question of Paul Levesque, because there's no one built up.
Yep.
No one is there. No one can be found. There's an MIA person that is unidentified, that is unavailable, and they have not been pushed. It's not Raquel. It's not Liv. I don't know who. And I wish I had the answer. I really do. And I just don't know, because nobody's been built up substantially enough. I can't name one person. It's not Becky, because we've been there, done that. I have no idea who it could be.
You know, and with that, I think this is people can talk about her all they want, man. And I'm a big fan, and people say a lot. And actually, there's two women you can do this for. But we're really missing Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair right now.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. I mean, that's two women who have shown that you can throw them against anybody, and it feels more important. It feels bigger. You know what you're going to get in the ring. They don't need the title to feel like a big, like, this is where that star power, and people talked a lot of crap about Becky Lynch, the constant crap about Charlotte Flair, but man, oh man, would they be utilized right now. But it is what it is. When they do come back, it's going to feel different, but I think what Rhea really needs is a move to SmackDown. They need to separate, get away, just get some fresh faces, some fresh opponents. Because I think you're right. This is there's not much left on this bone.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
Ohio seniors, it's time to make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Plans start at $0 per month and include $0 doctor visits and $0 generic prescription drugs. Visit medmutual.com/review or call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. MedMutual Advantage plans are HMO, HMO, POS, and PPO plans offered by Medical Mutual of Ohio with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in a MedMutual Advantage plan depends on contract renewal.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No, like Monday Night Raw is dire straits. When you look at that division, yeah, you got bodies there, but like you don't see someone that can legit go after Rhea in a way. And as you said, they're hurting for Becky and they're really hurting for Charlotte. That star power, they really bring feuds to the forefront when they're there. Becky, for reasons I don't understand regarding the criticism, like who does she make in the last year? Lyra. Tiffany Stratton. Trish Stratus had a good run back in WWE. Zoe Stark got some shine. Yeah, she's in a faction now, but what is she doing in said faction? Like, Becky elevated a whole bunch of people and moved the numbers. That's undisputed facts. So for everybody that has something to say, I don't know. Who's the champion right now? Who beat Becky for the championship? Liv. So, like, who does she make? A lot of people in the last year or so. She set him up and she left. Humble as she can possibly be, people need to understand the purpose of what she was doing and why. And look at the booking now when she's not there. So that is a question mark too that I put at the feet of Paul Levesque and his team. Monday Night Raw, the women's division looks shaky. SmackDown looks a bit stronger because we got more variety. But let's not forget who set the table, who was willing to eat the losses. Look at Nia Jax. That's another one. Get your fifth finger up, Scott, of who Becky Lynch elevated in the last year. So I need people to recognize what is being said out there in terms of inaccuracies about what overpush means. No, that's not what that means. It means who is the person elevating by way of taking losses, getting wins when they need to, and losing on the way out the door. That was Becky Lynch. I got receipts. We got the tape. We need to stop.
Yep, that's it.
All right. So let's move on to other aspects of SmackDown. We had a tournament going on to determine who would be facing the Bloodline for those tag team titles. And we have a triple threat set for next week involving DIY. Well, not a triple threat. I take that back because that's Monday Night Raw. It would be DIY and the debuting Motor City Machine Guns, Chris Sabian and Alex Shelley going head to head to find out who will be losing to the Bloodline. Let's be honest. You'll be losing to the Bloodline when it's all said and done. Unless Jay and Jimmy and Roman come out there and neutralize Jacob and Solo. I don't foresee a title change. I don't. But hey, you never know.
Tongaloa is there for a reason. and Motor City Machine Guns will be winning the titles. Wow. I'll go ahead and call it now. I think you could very easily do it as, hey, eye for an eye, Jey Uso, eye for an eye. You're going to have the Usos come out, and it's going to be the Usos come out and cost G.O.D. the titles. I'm calling it. Yeah, I'll go ahead and place that bet. And the Motor City Machine Guns will be taking the titles off the Bloodline after they beat DIY.
I want to be with you so bad. I want to be on that island and say you're right. I hope it happens. The stars have to align for the Usos to come out there and handle business. And they need their honorary ooh, Sammy, too, to even the odds. They got to have somebody out there. Yes, they do.
Not yet.
I know. It's coming.
Yet.
I know.
The Usos as a team is what we're going to get first. And that's going to be the big moment. Oh, my God, the Usos. Sammy's coming. Sammy's paused. But Sammy's on his way.
Okay. I'm rolling with it. But I'm just trying to see how we're going to neutralize Jacob. Because that's
you're
a problem.
Not. Oh, you're not. Well, you're not. Sammy's not either. Okay. Sammy's not neutering anybody. I can tell you that.
No, it's Jacob. You can't spade and neuter him. That's impossible. Right. So we're going to pray. I like the idea of it happening. My only issue is like, how are we going to take care of Jacob in this situation? I don't know. You have to lock him up somewhere.
That's what Rome is gonna have to do something about Jacob. He's gonna have to blindside him with a spear or something. Because I'm gonna tell you what, Sammy can do a lot of things. Sammy ain't doing nothing with the wolf.
No, the wolf will eat him. So yeah, we'll see. It's gonna be fascinating to see how this goes down. He's got to neutralize Jacob somehow, some way. And we end the show with more bloodline stuff as Roman told Jimmy later in the show. Jimmy, so funny, trying to be the wise man, spooking Roman. Like, now the funny bloodline segments are back too. And he basically said, I got to do what I got to do tonight because I got to acknowledge Solo. And Roman is doing it out of like principality purposes. Like, listen, I acknowledge you. Are we done? And then, like, Solo says, no, I really need you to acknowledge me as your tribal chief, as the head of the table, as your boss. I need you to really dig deep and acknowledge me. And Roman's like, oh, what? Like, this dude, like, what Jay has an issue with Roman is that you haven't changed in terms of how greedy you are and your selfishness. And Solo caught that. Like, there he is. The guy that can't humble himself enough to acknowledge me. The guy who can't let go of power. He just knew what buttons to push. And because of that, Roman got his ass beat again by the new bloodline. Jimmy tried to tell him, we need help. It's coming together nicely. The only thing I didn't like was that when Jay showed up, and I love Jay, don't get me wrong, but it felt like everything we saw backstage, we jumped like two steps to get him on SmackDown to talk about his brother. But we are setting the table for what will be a great bloodline reunion soon. And that other piece that is missing is Paul Heyman. And when he's back, the bloodline is back.
Yeah, and that's going to be a nice moment too. Not much left to be added. They've done a good job of building this up slowly. We know how this story is going to go. I don't even want them to tell us what inning we're in. So don't even give me hope that we're like in the sixth inning. Because Lord knows y'all going to be fouling balls off for like the next 2 weeks. No, 2 months. No, year. So don't even tell me what inning we're in. But yeah, everything about this is good. It's not dragging yet. I think they've done a good job. And a big part of it, and we've talked about it, has to be attributed to this new bloodline. They've done a good job of really establishing themselves and forming their own identity. And like we talked about with Solo, coming into his own character. So everything about this worked well. Good close to SmackDown. And I think they've established themselves here on Friday here on the USA Network.
Yes, they're really finding their footing here on the show. I like the format of the show. The flow is good. It's his own identity, which I appreciate. And I really am starting to appreciate Solo because he's figured it out. And that's all I want. Like, figure out your character, know who you are, lean in. He's a ham. He's a funny guy. He is a ham hawk. I do love that about him. Like, listen, you're not going to be a mafioso boss. Stop those pre-tape bullshit promos about you asserting your authority. I never believed it. You being a cheeky ham hawk, I believe that. Someone that smells his own shit and realizes, hey, I'm not really actually that guy, but I'm leaning in anyway. I love that. I love him being funny and self-deprecating. I enjoyed that Solo versus I'm trying to be the tribal chief. Acknowledge me with my serious voice. Like, I'm glad that's dead because I didn't believe it. But all in all, solid SmackDown on USA. I enjoy my Friday nights to end promptly at 10 o'clock as we now segue to Monday Night Raw. Going down live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the home of WrestleMania 40, as we kick things off with a departure. Our girl Samantha Irvin is gone. It made me sad. She was a great announcer, kicked butt in that role. Lillian Garcia is back. Love Lillian. They tried her by giving her the wrong and notes, and everything she was saying wasn't happening. It reminded me of that debut of SmackDown on USA. Like, get the right notes out, my God. But she'll be fine for week two. She's been old hat for this for a very long time. But let's discuss what happened at the tippy top of the show, which was Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed just going at it all night long. backstage brawl after backstage brawl. And the funniest part was after we dragged this man, and I love me some Scrap Daddy, you know this, but he's been sorry at his job. Very inefficient. But Adam Pearce found the whole bass in his voice. And I thought he was going to lose his voice for screaming. Called them dudes bastards. Told them, hey, if you just waited, if you had a little patience, stop fighting all the fucking time, I would have told you guys, this match you want so damn badly, you're going to get it at Crown Jewel. He was so forceful. Like, where is this authority when we need you to be authoritative, dude? But he handled business. I did love Seth being on site with a man that splashed him 6 times. That's how you do it, as Bronson splashed through the announce table and took that out, and they kept fighting throughout the evening. But hey, I'm here for the match, I'm here for the carnage. The question becomes, who goes over? Answer is Seth Rollins, but I think despite everything, Bronson Reed will be okay.
Yeah, Bronson will definitely be okay. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he messes around and wins. It could be a nice story of Seth maybe not being 100% back. Also, the Scrap Daddy has – nobody takes him serious. That's why nobody paid him no mind. Nobody's paying him no mind. They wanted to fight then. They didn't want to wait. So that didn't help. That didn't help them. But yeah, this should be fun. I think this will probably be the best match. This could be, this will be better than Cody Gunther. I think this will be the best match of the card.
All right, we shall see. Bold prediction could be very good. I would love to see how they work together with time. Even matchup. I expect some brutality mix in as well. But I'm excited about this matchup going down at Crown Jewel in a couple of weeks' time. On Peacock, as we get to this egregious, gaudy championship belt, the Crown Jewel title being carried around by the Secret Service, this big old case, and we're having gentle hands touch it, gloves on, making sure not a speck is out of place. We have Gunther and Cody talking about the importance of this championship. It's like, okay, cool, whatever, fine. I don't care. It's going to be a championship for a day that exists, and then it won't be talked about for a year, but we're going to process and deal. Same with Liv too, and her trying to be the Crown Jewel champion against Nia Jax, while also running from Rhea Ripley at the exact same time. That was a common thread on Monday night as well. Also going down on the show was our tag team tournament involving more teams vying for a shot at the Judgment Day's World Tag Team titles. The New Day beat AOP thanks to an assist from R-Truth. And after that happens, we have R-Truth get beat down by The Miz and that crew, the Final Testament. And Xavier Woods once again tells Kofi, not our fight, not our problem, let's go. But thankfully, the Wyatt Six comes out to help out and spook the faction away, as that will be their next feud on the main roster.
So I am a little disappointed in Xavier, especially since he's as big of a nerd, you know, as I am. And I know he's watched a lot of horror movies. So you know better than to do something bad and wrong in front of the spooky good guy right in front of you. He knows better. He knows better. He's smarter than that. Okay. You know better what to do in a horror movie. Kofi trying to save your life. Let that man save your life. As far as the angle goes, I think the matches are going to be good. I think they'll be pretty good. This is probably the best for The Miz. Keep him involved with something where he doesn't have to have any solo matches. He can just lose, be in the mix. Karrion Kross, again, he's going to be there. He's going to be in the mix. And, you know, if his interview with Chris Van Vliet taught me anything, is that this guy is going to be willing to get in a fight as long as somebody is going to break it up.
We really went there, didn't we? This could help ourselves, that last little jab. Are you talking about me?
I'm just saying, this dude talking about him and Lashley wanting to get in the fight, and then they want to know who's going to break it up. Why? You want to know who's going to get Lashley off of you? That what you wanted to know? You should have asked Lashley that. Hey, what's going to happen if you beat my tail and nobody comes and helps me?
That is a valid point. Yes, it is.
But then again, I did see him break three baseball bats between his legs. So clearly I don't know what I'm talking about.
Exactly. So, see?
There are.
See? A moot point when you really think about it.
Yeah.
All right. As we get to our next match on the card for Monday, which was Io Sky and Kairi Sane defeating Raquel Rodriguez and Liv Morgan via disqualification. This was made up backstage during the show. Match was just kind of there. It existed only for Lash and Jakar to cause trouble at ringside, and they lay out damage control, which leads to their NXT match the following night. So we're planting seeds there, which I like to see. So it's all about protecting people heading into whatever will be at whatever show we're going to be doing things at. That's all I know for sure. All I know is that things are happening, and I'm very curious about that. But what I like was the fact that Chikara and Lash are not back down from Liv and Raquel either. They want smoke from all directions. They're beefing with everybody. They're not allies with anybody. They just have their own backs in that situation, which I like, and they're not afraid to just ante up and say what's good.
Like I said, they're on all three shows. They are getting the most exposure of arguably any single act in WWE right now. Maybe outside of the world champions. And outside of champions, they're on all three shows. What more could you ask for out of women at that who are on all three shows, black women, and a tag team? They're doing just fine.
Yes, getting visibility, mic time, mm-hmm. and time in the ring. Like, they're maximizing.
And looking strong.
And looking strong. And looking mm-hmm. good out there. Like, they're mm-hmm. not looking like they're rookies who are lost. They look right. like they are being polished, and they're getting primed for a main roster run. I was pleasantly surprised. And they are natural fits for the main roster. They don't feel out of place. They feel like you are necessary. You are needed here. And now, like, the boost they've given this division in the last 2 weeks, thank you. We appreciate it. Freshness and a push that means that makes sense, and a push that I fully support, and I want more of it across all three shows. As we get to another number one contenders tournament tag team match involving Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus the Creed Brothers, American Made. I was a little surprised by the outcome because they're trying to push American Made, but you're also trying to get Dragon Lee reestablished on Monday Night Raw. That's been a struggle for the last few months. You do it with Rey Mysterio, a legend in the game that can get you over in this tag team. This should have been the case for months, but they're just not pulling the trigger. And they did beat the Creeds to move on to the finals, as they will be facing the New Day and one other team in, not the Viking Raiders, thank God, War Raiders.
Yeah, I like the team of Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio. It would make sense if they are the ones to kind of take the titles off of Judgment Day. So I don't know, but I do like that tag team. I think that'll do wonders for Dragon Lee. And again, if he's not going to have a singles push, him being in that tag team would raise the next best thing.
I agree. And push Dragon Lee, because his confidence, I can tell, was a little bit short in terms of what he's been able to do lately in the ring. But working with Ray in a tag team, that should boost him up a bit. And we'll see how he shines in his triple threat next week. And the winner will go on to face Finn Balor and JD McDonagh for those tag team titles that are hardly defended since they won them over the summer. As we get to something that was asinine, Carlito. Carlito, Carlito, Carlito. So there was an article that dropped from Rolling Stone in the last few days regarding the writer's room in WWE and when Vince ran roughshod over it and things that weren't exactly going swimmingly behind the scenes, toxic workplace, bad ideas being pitched. And you wonder to yourself, based on the end of the article, saying that, I wonder how things would change under Paul Levesque. And if you got some people still there that worked under Vince, some old habits will die harder, and they should die faster, actually. And when you really think about it. And so when I was watching Monday Night Raw, and I see this segment involving damage control, speaking in Japanese to Adam Pearce about what's been going on with Chikara and Lash, we get Carlito coming in. And he says, I really got to learn Chinese. And my immediate reaction was, what the hell was that? Number two, who wrote that shit? Come to find out, I can assign no blame in the writer's room. They didn't come up with that line. Carlito ad-libbed it. And WWE scrubbed the clip from social media, thankfully so. But in 2024, Carlito, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's a very tone deaf. You know, it's not going to fly with the internet crowd and kind of where we're at right now. So it's not going to work. He'll probably be written off TV for a while, or you just won't see him. That'll probably be the best thing for them to do, is just probably not see Carlito for a while. And you just explain it with something real simple.
Raquel beat his ass and he goes missing.
Yeah, you could do that real easy.
She didn't want him there anyway. So 1 week, Carlito's going to be missing like dimes. Yeah.
He tried to hit on her and she said no and threw him off a bridge.
Yep. Never to be seen or heard from again.
He went to Saudi Arabia and didn't come back.
Wow. Wow. That's wow.
I'm just saying, I didn't say what happened to him. I just said he didn't come back.
That is dark.
But that could be anywhere. That's the next place they're going.
Of all the places to select, considering.
That's the next place they're going.
I know, but you tried it. Very, very, very.
Just saying, that's the next place they're going.
I don't condone what Scott just said.
If he shows up at NXT 2300 and, you know, and gets left in the ballroom, that's what happens.
Ban him from the 2300 building, please. Don't let him through the door. That would be my advice. Lock the door, actually. No, change the locks, actually. That's what we should do. But yeah, tasteless line by Carlito. Hopefully there's like a reprimand and an apology before he disappears off television for a little bit. But let's get to the main event, which was Bron Breakker versus Jey Uso for the Intercontinental Championship in the main event spot. And as I had a feeling, Jey was going to lose big by way of the bloodline. And as we talked about earlier, Solo came through the crowd with not one ticket, but two tickets. And then he flashed the tickets like, I got tickets. One for me and one for him. And the him was Jacob Fatu. And I laughed at Solo being a complete ham. I did. And the entire bloodline just calls distraction after distraction after distraction. But I must call out, by far, the dumbest refereeing of the year. So let me get this straight, referee. So when security takes away Tama Tonga and Tongaloa in your peripheral, because I know I saw your head turn in your peripheral, you didn't see or hear Jacob take out Jey from your peripheral. You didn't see or hear anything behind your back as your head did a tilt. And then Bron Breakker takes advantage, spears Jey to become a two-time Intercontinental Champion. But you didn't see or feel anything behind you, even though I saw your head turn in the peripheral direction. What a dumb referee. Title change, we figured it was coming because Jey talked about being champion and he had a glorious 3 weeks, but I kind of knew the reign was short because you got to get the motivation for getting back in the family business. And that's the way to do it, by costing Jey the championship. And now he's got beef with the new bloodline, and he and Jey and he and Jimmy and Roman will reconcile. Sammy will come in time as well. This is leading up to War Games for Survivor Series. I'm all in. Dumbass refereeing aside.
No, you just didn't see, because they didn't put it on the ref cam. Jey went up to the referee and was like, hey, is it okay if you just let us go crazy for like 3 minutes? Just don't do anything. Just let it go. Whatever you see, just let it go. Okay, it's fine. It's family. It's all family here. So that's we just all missed that part because they didn't put the ref cam on. But outside of that egregiousness, yeah, it was kind of, you knew it was coming. I would have loved for Roman and Jimmy to come out and save Jey and to show like, hey, like we need you. And we need you to understand we here for you too. Now, there was something, maybe I could be reading too much into things, but maybe it looked like Solo kind of moved Jay out the way of the first spear that Braun threw on the outside. It looked like he kind of took that for Jay. I don't know if that's something that'll come back and be like, hey, I moved you out the way. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into that, but it did kind of look like he shoved Jay out the way.
Listen, baby brother has a heart still.
Still got love for him.
Yes. Technically, Jay never did anything to Solo. So there's a love there. There's an affection there still. So he gonna have his brother's back. And when that day comes, we know when it all falls apart, when Solo has to acknowledge Roman as his true OTC, he said, I'll do it when the time comes. When that happens, those hyenas gonna turn on Solo. That's what's gonna happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But and that'll happen after they, you know, after the one-on-one match and Roman finally beats Solo, gets the Ulafala, and throw the ones up.
Yes. Not that Dollister Ulafala, the real one that Roman wore on SmackDown many years ago. Not the fat one. That's the Dollar Tree version. The real Ulafala, the fancy one that his father and his uncle gave to him. Alpha and Sika, may they rest. That's the Ulafala we're looking for. Not that cheap one the Roman keeps trying to put around his neck to be official. Like, I know the difference. One looks expensive. One looks Dollar Tree special bought. I'm just saying.
No.
Amazon Prime special delivery for $25 or less. Not that we're Ulafala, but we're going to let that go. As we get to NXT going down last night on the CW, the last show before Halloween Havoc, we kick things off with Damage Control, Io Sky and Kairi Sane versus Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson. This match...
A third time talking about Lash and Jakara?
Yes.
Oh gosh. I just knew a couple weeks ago they were done. I knew they were done. But they're on three shows? Crazy.
Opening the show, facing seasoned vets out there, and it was pretty good. We had one spill by EO, and respectful Florida fans at the PC said, we love EO. It's all good. We love her. People can F up and they'd be all right. And it wasn't really an F up because Kairi was underneath the rope and she shook it just a little bit and poor EO just... Yeah, but you know what? EO's a pro. She recovered and she kept it moving. And I love Lash not freaking out either. Like her reflex, let me pick you up. Let's go to our next spot. Like that is learning stuff on the fly and letting things just not fall apart. That is growth on live television. That is real growth and improvement by everybody involved. And then we got a shocking conclusion because it looked like Lash and Jakara were about to beat EO Sky, which is rare on WWE television, about to go for their double team finisher, when Piper Nevin trips up Jakara and we get like a beatdown with Chelsea being her best share from Clueless, whooping ass in that outfit, and the crowd loved it. So I like Piper and Chelsea in the mix too, alongside Damage Control and Lash and Jakara. We just was missing Bianca and Jade, and hey, things are going to happen. I don't know in what way, shape, form, or fashion, but I'm all in. I thought this was good business. It prevented a pinfall. And most importantly, it builds up the future for what exactly? We shall see.
Oh, it's the Dusty Cup. They're building up the Dusty Cup. If this is not building the Dusty Cup, I don't know what we're doing all this for. Because let me tell you, that women's side of the Dusty Cup is going to be solid. Throw in a Fatal Influence, throw in Julia and Stephanie just for the hell of it. And you know what? I might even throw Liv and Raquel in there. Like, you're on the network now. Let's put everybody, let's throw all your eggs into that Dusty Cup. Let's make it feel special. So then you can have a Rhea. I mean, it's not like you're going to end the feud anyway. You can have a Rhea show up on NXT when you go to one of these live, you know, when you take it on the road somewhere. Like, this is a way to do it, and this is a way to get one of your tag teams over there. I'm here for a women's Dusty. I think they have the teams for it. I think they've done a good job of building the feuds. The crowd would be extremely hot for these women to have that Dusty Cup. you have a nice mix of women on NXT you can use, or you can have some women from the main roster. You can have a big bracket. You could have qualifying matches for the cup. There's a lot you could do with the women right now in the Dusty Cup with the way you have things set up and the way you have your NXT roster. So, hey man, the NXT side with the women and the pipeline they have is it's endless and it's flourishing. And I'm very excited about what they're going to do with it, but I'm fully expecting a Dusty Cup.
You've been saying Dusty Cup for the last month or so. I just need Cody to bring his ass on NXT to make that official. Just dust off the cup, the boots, reveal it. Let's be done with it. Let's do it. I'm game. You got the teams this year. Even though we got Miss Jada Parker and Lola Vice beefing, I still want them as a tag team.
I might have messed around and have them win it.
Yes.
I mean, that's definitely a team you have favored. Like, obviously, you have your tag teams, but the Dusty Cup is always men. The men's one's always been built on having that random team kind of pull the underdog win. You know, the Matt Riddle, Aleister Black. The Matt Riddle, Pete Dunne, the Aleister Black, Ricochet, where you always kind of have these makeshift teams making runs in the tournament. So that's a team that I would definitely keep an eye on if they were to be paired up in it.
Yes, just fight through your differences and be a team. That's all that I ask. Like Walker HBK, you don't be teasing me with a tag team and then don't deliver. Let them have their match. Let them beef. Let them get their mutual respect on. Let them be a team and maybe win the whole cup. I'm just saying. Let's not forget what you tried to build up and now you're trying to tear it down, but I digress. So all in all, good business. Love the idea by Scott too. Possible Dusty Cup incoming. We just need the word on it, dude. We are nearly at the end of the year. Let's do the Dusty Cup as soon as possible. It was a women's heavy night on this show. Several women's matches were on tap, including Tatum Paxley and Miss Jada Parker, as we talked about earlier. And she beat Tatum with the Hypnotic. No interference from Lola Vice, even though Lola tried to come out there to scrap with Jada Parker. Then later in the show, Lola was like so angry that she would just toss an ass with wannabe heavy machinery and the NASCAR guy.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want me to, there was no commentary I could give to that. NASCAR guy was like, cool. Cool. I drive a car.
He didn't know what was going on. Like, I'm just here to promote my race. And we got Lola Vice just shaking and teaching salsa. And she's beefing with Jada, and Jada's not jumping her. And we got Hank and Tank, bootleg heavy machinery going out there just doing whatever. It was all perplexing, but okay, we move.
She moved too. I don't know what commentary or what reaction you wanted from me, but she moved.
She moved. Yes, she did.
She moved.
Your greatest line this week. She moved. She did. That she did. As we get to another women's match on the show, as I move out of order, it was Sol Ruka versus Carmen Petrovic. And apparently she has a crush on Ashanti, the Adonis, the noted playboy of NXT. He leave you a rose and you pick it up. It wasn't for you, but you smitten and y'all trying to flirt and not really being into each other like that. It's a CW. We got to have our Riverdale romance, even though Riverdale isn't on anymore. And Ashanti distracted Carmen just long enough for Soul to snatch that soul, Snow Snatcher, for the 1-2-3. Poor Carmen. She would get her man somehow, some way. It's going to be a slow burn romance, apparently, as Ashanti realizes player ways and knows that the true love of his life was staring in front of him the entire time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can tell you this. Dr. Umar won't be calling Ashanti. I can tell you that. I can tell you one thing. He won't be invited to any of his conventions. I can tell you that much. All right.
Oh my God.
Am I wrong? It's fine. Love who you love. You know, love who you love. Shout out to Dr. Umar, though. Just don't let him see NXT, because he see that, he'll be like, he's going to shut the whole thing down. And then he going to see Sol Ruka and be like, what's going on? Because he ain't going to understand. So
no.
He's not going to understand anything that's going on. And then he's going to see Oba and Nikki Lyons and Nikita. And he's gonna be like, "Oh my, okay, I'm all lost." The match was okay. The finish was cool, and yeah, shout out to Ashante.
Yes, doing good work, finding his footing on this show as a playboy, which is good for him because he wasn't doing much in the main roster with Cedric, and I'm glad he's finding his way on this show as his own man. As we get to speaking of Nikita Lyons, this was actually really clever, as we'll get to right now. So it was supposed to be Oba Femi versus the lawyer, Cristofino. That's his name, from the Tony D'Angelo family. Luca Cristofino. And before the match took place, Rizzo was attacked backstage. And Tony D wanted to know what was going on. So we got Stax out there with Luca against Oba Femi. Oba handled that business fairly quickly. Match is over. Oba says, let's introduce some tables, ladders, and scares before our match on Sunday for the North America Championship. So as he's going after Luca and Stax, we got Tony D trying to make the save, and Oba takes him out, zip ties his hand, traps him. He puts Stax through a table, and then he power bombs poor Luca through a ladder, and the fans chant, holy shit. There's a long silence on the CW. This is broadcast television. They don't play that. But what was clever was that later on in the show, Nikita is talking to our brothers backstage, and she said that you gotta be proactive. You can't afford to be blindsided. Sometimes you gotta go after somebody first before they come after you. And as she's saying this, Oba Femi just happens to have her fur coat and says, here you go. And I said to myself, oh, Nikita attacked Rizzo. And I think Nikita and Oba might have a thing going on. There might be some alliance afoot here. And I'm actually here for that. Very clever, Walker HBK, to do that in that way.
Let me see here. Hold up. I'm you know what? I'm gonna leave that one alone. What got me was when she said thank you and he said no thank you. So yeah, I actually didn't put that together. I was wondering about the thank you thing, but once you said that, that actually makes sense. And now that you said that, I have Oba winning back his North American title, because I have him having a brand new, his own family. And I think that's what he's going to bring to the table. He's going to have Nikita and he's going to have that tag team right there. That's going to be his new family. That's my prediction. I'm probably off, but if that's what the tea leaves are pulling out, because I think you're spot on about Nikita, her recruiting those two, that's your family. I think that's his new family right there. I'm here for that.
I'm here for it. Talking spicy with Nikita. I'm laughing because on TNT, they had the nerve to have video unavailable as this game was going on because of technical difficulties. Come on, y'all. This y'all last season having the NBA. Y'all can't be acting all bootleg and raggedy.
No, that's why they say, oh, y'all want to play with us? Watch this.
Video unavailable.
Watch this. Are the Lakers playing? Yeah, we about to shut that down.
Oh, my goodness. They're leading by 8 with 4 minutes to go. Escott's still cranking that head like an ostrich, just trying to multitask. But I do like the idea of Oba having a family after stripping Tony of his family, because Tony says, you want me to go in and alone for our tables, ladders, and scares match on Sunday? I can do that. But Oba might have a family, and I'm here for that. And Nikita being a heel, I'm here for that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Let's do it. I want to see how she is as a heel. Let's see. So that happened. Also, we had our face-to-face confrontation involving Trick Williams and All Ego Ethan Page ahead of their NXT Championship match via the Devil's Playground. I will say this. I like Ethan Page a lot. I think he's a very good promo. I think he talked too much during this segment. And Trick has some good lines. Trick had that shit on. I did like that as always. Like, you know, the white fur in Florida looking real crisp, looking real clean. Love the swag as always. I liked Ethan's material talking about I didn't have the luxury of being pampered. I didn't have the luxury of being trained at a performance center, having access to the world's best trainers and coaches to get me primed for the main roster. I had to bleed, had to sweat, had to taste my own blood to make it to where I am today. And I'm going to bring this out of you on Sunday via our Devil's Playground match because I have the devil in me. I don't think you have the devil in you. And, you know, the content was good, but when you talk this kind of big talk about this kind of match that we've seen on NXT television before that was very hokey with the graveyard and the tombstones and the fog and the smoke and mirrors of it all, I really need you to bring it, Ethan. You talk in a big game about what you are and what you're going to do and what Trick hasn't gone through against Carmelo and Ilya Dragunov. Like, I need you to say all of this stuff and back it up. It's kind of reminding me of what Drew and Punk said to each other ahead of their various matches that ultimately culminated in Hell in a Cell when they lived up to the violence and blood. So I just need Ethan to stand on business. You say all of this. I expect maximum violence on Sunday. I expect this to be a brutal match. You said it. Don't undersell me when it's time. You talked it up. Bring it. I saw what you did in AEW against Darby Allin. I know you're crazy. I know what you can do. Bring that on Sunday, and then we can talk. Until then, I am side-eyeing you because when you talk this big, I need you to deliver. You said you want to bring the violence. Bring the violence.
So I kind of, as I'm watching this, it really hit me that this is a clear example of two people. One guy who is, both are very talented, but one guy who's a really good promo, who like, and the other guy who probably isn't as good of a promo and doesn't have to say as much, but just has a swag to him. And it's just a clear example of somebody having it and somebody not having it, but just being really good at the job. Mm-hmm. And I think that's Ethan Page. And that's not a knock on him. Like, I think he's done a great job at NXT. I think he's been a great foil for Trick Williams, and he's firmly established in the main event. Somebody said he's the Miz, except he can wrestle. And to me, that's not an insult. Like, I think if he goes up to the main roster, he would be firmly entrenched in that upper mid card, would win him a couple IC titles, get him a US title, like, no problem. And I think he's very talented. He just doesn't have it. And Trick Williams has it. And I just think that's a clear example where I don't think Trick Williams is as good as Ethan Page. Promos, we can give a push if you want. Charisma is definitely Trick, but as far as in ring and all that stuff, I think Ethan Page is better than him, but he just doesn't have it. And this is just a clear example of two guys, one being really good to great, not having it, and one guy being good and just having it.
That's the perfect scenario that you just spoke up. The perfect dichotomy of what we saw. We saw a superstar and a star. And mm-hmm. I like Ethan Page a lot, but the more he talked, I'm like, I see Trick. And he's like, he doesn't have to say a word hardly. And he just has it. And it's like, he's absorbing your words. I wish he had more to say in that situation, because I think that Ethan dominated that talking exchange to a point was like, I get what you're saying, but in some weird way, I don't emotionally feel it until I see your match on Sunday. Like, you're talking it up so big about who you are and what you do and how violent you can get. In the scope of NXT, they're going to have to let you do that on Sunday. Otherwise, it's all talk and no action. So that's why I was kind of like reserved and like, okay, we saw a Devil's Playground match several times in NXT. It's always been camp. It's always been a little hokey. Always been a little corny. Can you take that out of the equation and really bring that griminess and violence that requires it to be for you to say you're going to be those things in that match and try to bring that out in trick? That's my concern here. Like, you talk a very big game and it's very impressive, but do I fully believe they're going to let you do what you need to do to cook on Sunday? I don't know.
I do. I think HBK is going to let them do their thing. I think PLE, yeah, I think, especially because I think you bring up a good point about you talk like that, because I was thinking the same thing, like, man, this feels like we're almost in a role reversal where the way you're talking about your history and, you know, everything that you've been through, I almost feel like Trick should be talking about how I didn't come up from wrestling and, you know, I had to work from this. I got cut from football and I had to start from the bottom from here. And, you know, I was somebody's valet and now I've worked my way to the top. I was told I'd be nothing but somebody's, you know, mouthpiece. And now I am the piece of NXT that everybody talks about. Like, I thought that was the promo that he was going to respond with. But again, when you have it, you don't have to do a lot. But I still, you know, just the way it was set up, it felt like Ethan Page was cutting the babyface promo and Trick Williams was the cocky heel, not sweating him. And in that regard, Ethan Page should win the match, but he's not going to. So like you said, as long as they put on a real physical match, you're not going to get the Hell in a Cell match. You're not going to get nothing of that brutality. But NXT is known for putting on pretty good, you know, lights out, or whatever they call them. So I think they are going to have a little bit more free reign to get a little bit more violent.
I agree. Hope so as well. And great point as well about what could have been the rebuttal from Trick that had an interesting start 3 years ago in NXT, being the mouthpiece, being the hype man for Carmelo to where he is now as NXT champion. Nobody really kind of predicted that trajectory for him. And he grew into that organically. And I thought that would have been the perfect rebuttal to what Ethan was saying. But as you said, when you're a star on a certain level, you don't need all of that. But at the same time, it would have been nice because it was a predominantly dominant exchange by Ethan Page to the point where I was like, well, you better back it up on Sunday with all this talk you're doing.
I know we got to move on, but you know what it's going to take for Trick as far as him cutting that promo, I feel like, is he's going to have to be in the ring with a bigger star. He's going to, or somebody who is genuinely perceived as bigger than life. Like, it's going to take a Oba or somebody in that regard to be in the ring across from him where he's going to feel that he's not going to have that, you know, that where the whole crowd is completely with him against him, where it's a little bit more 50-50, where it's a little bit more like, we know he's not going to win the title. He needs to be in the ring with somebody who's a bigger name than him or who can just talk circles around him and make him look foolish if he doesn't come back with a promo like that. I think that's what it's going to take for him to get us that promo. If not, this is what we're going to get. And there's nothing wrong with it because, like we've been talking about, he's built different. But to get what we want as far as that serious promo, because when he was going against Melo, we saw that. When he was going against Dragunov, we saw that. We heard that. We felt that. Right now, he's kind of, I'm the man right now. Nobody's in my level. That's the phase he's in right now. And until he comes across somebody he feels is in his level character-wise, we're probably not going to get that promo.
I agree. Great assessment there as well. As we move on to the main event of NXT, which was Stephanie Vaquer and Julia versus two members of Fatal Influence, JC Jane and Fallon Henley. Thought this was a very good tag team match main event. I think Julia and Stephanie are a great tag team. Stephanie is fitting in nicely. Both ladies are over. They've elevated the women's division greatly since their debuts in the last few weeks or so. And JC and Fallon Henley held up their end as well. They did a good job in this match. Nice flow to it. Great heat. Crowd being back in the PC. You've been kind of hyped the last couple of weeks. I like that energy as well. Trying to compete with the smaller venues because, you know, the road game is calling NXT. They'll be in Philly in a couple of weeks after the election because they don't want to go ahead head-to-head against election night. So they're moving NXT to Wednesday. Very special event there. And the PC crowd is saying, hey, we can go toe-to-toe, keep the energy up wherever we may be, which I appreciate as well. We did have some interference courtesy of Jasmine Nix, but Kalani Jordan took care of that as Stephanie and Julia laid out JC and Fallon for the victory. After the match is over, it's time to spin the wheel, make the deal. Kalani doesn't have any idea who her opponent is going to be for her championship match for the Women's North American title this Sunday at Halloween Havoc. The heels spin the wheel, but then they spin someone, something. It is going to be a choice of some sort that we don't know. Spinner's choice. And then we get this debut of Delta. Now, Zahara, I believe is her name. And she comes out of nowhere with the fancy, spooky entrance. And is she the spinner's choice? I don't know. We'll see. Cliffhanger alert to end NXT promptly at 10 o'clock, just in time for your local news.
Well, for me, it was Seinfeld, but shout out to George Costanza. So I didn't like the finish. I didn't like Kalani having to come out and even the odds. Like I know you want to protect, which you don't need to be protecting Fatal Influence, but I would have rather Stephanie and Julia just overcome the odds. Like, you're about to face arguably the most dominant NXT champion of all time in Cora Jade. So like, I feel like you could have used, it would have been okay to beat Fatal Influence. I know they wanted to get Kalani on the show, you know, show your champion, and then you kind of forward that feud as well. And maybe she ends up having to face Zyra or Zarai or whatever her name is going to be. So maybe she ends up facing her. But me, you know, when she was in the ring and she held up their hands, I was waiting on them to kind of look at her like, yeah, your time's coming too. TikTok, you got something we want too. Because that's kind of, I hope they're not like all friendly. I wanted them to kind of headbutt or kick her in the face. I'm not going to lie to you. And I've definitely grown to be a Kalani fan, but I was 100% waiting on one of them to clock her in the jaw and be like, yeah, we're not here to make friends. We want that too.
Yes, I like that. We need to have that mentality of doing whatever you need to do in order to stand on top of things. So it was a curious finish there, but they're trying to promote multiple matches for Halloween Havoc, which I understand. But sometimes you just want to stand on business and do what you got to do at the exact same time. And speaking of standing on business, let's quickly get into the preview for Halloween Havoc going down this Sunday. We'll be back for a special Sunday recording of The Wrap, recapping the highs and lows of the show. But let's briefly go through the card. I think we kind of have our predictions laid out in terms of who we think is going to win these matches heading into Halloween Havoc 2024, as I pull up the card right now.
While she does that, shout out to the Lakers. 1-0.
You know what? You just trying to make yourself feel special.
I'm not surprised. Lakers Nation isn't surprised. So just a good day. Good start.
1 of 82, sir. 1 of 82. So we have 5 matches on tap for Sunday's PLE. Let's get to Rich Holland and Andre Chase in an ambulance match. Who you got?
I got Andre Chase with Duke Hudson coming out of the ambulance.
Okay. I got Andre Chase winning this match. Rich Holland goes to the back of the ambulance, goes for a ride to his local medical facility after what happens to him. Should be a great match, actually. Could be a sleeper match on this card on Sunday. As we get to Kalani Jordan versus somebody from Fatal Influence. Spinner's choice. Don't know what happened after NXT went off the air. So she is in confusion as to who her opponent is going to be. But I still got Kalani winning.
They're going to be Fallon. I got Kalani winning if it is somebody from Fatal Influence. If it's Zarai, she's losing.
Listen, Kalani had a good run. If it's homegirl, Z. If it's Z, that's her name, Z. And I'm gonna pray for Kalani. If the Spinner's Choice lands on Z, yeah, girl, you had a good time with that title. And deuces. I'm just saying, like, if it's gonna be Z, it's over. It's over.
If it's gonna be Z, you and Sol Ruka might as well just go form a tag team. You won't be going. You won't be getting that back for a while.
Not from a tag team.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Because you won't be getting that one. And there is definitely going to be a pecking order for you to get to the big one, because Stephanie and Julia are going to have a couple things to say. And that's just them two. Don't even get to my new client, Jada Paca, because she is definitely moving up the ladder. So, yeah, Kalani, once you lose that one, go call Soul.
Call Soul. Wow. Scott already says, I have your alternative here. Be a tag team. Go for the Dusty. Go for the cup.
You'd be a great team for Jada and Lola to beat on the way.
Wow. Wow. And already have them taking the L. Oh, cruel.
First round.
Not first round. That's evil. Okay.
They're going to win their qualifying match.
Oh, you're so cold. All right. Next up is Tony D'Angelo versus Obafemi. Scott said it. Like, it's going to be tables, ladders, and scares. Oh my, spin the wheel, make the deal for the NXT North America Championship. I got Scott's tempting me, but I'm gonna stick with Tony D'Angelo because Obafemi has bigger championship prospects in 2025.
I got Oba, man. I'm sticking with it. Oba and the family. I think he's his new kingdom, his new dynasty. Maybe he'll call it his kingdom or dynasty, whatever he's going to call it, will be formed, and Nikita will be his queen.
Dr. Umar's going to have some things to say about that.
Yeah, he's going to be more upset at Ashanti, though. He's going to be wondering what's going on in his mind completely.
Yes, I agree, but Umar's going to have some deep-rooted issues with this one. I just have a strong feeling. It's like, this ain't the Pride Rock I grew up watching, but I'm going to leave that alone as we get to.
You're not wrong.
I'm just, you started this. I'm just finishing it for you.
You're not wrong.
I'm just saying it didn't. Mm-hmm. As we get to our semi-main event, which could be the main event, depends how it goes. Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade versus Julia and Stephanie Vaquera in a tag team match. I got Stephanie and Julia winning.
I got the same team. And I think I'll be more specific. I think Julia gets her pin back, gets her win back over Roxanne.
I agree. Got to make up for what happened during that debut on the CW. And then what we presume will be the main event, Devil's Playground match for the NXT Championship, Trick Williams versus Ethan Page. Spin the wheel, make the deal. Trick will win. And I will say, it might be a top three Trick match when it's all said and done.
That's tough, because those Ilya matches are great. The Pete Dunne match was great too. That's high praise. Yeah, and Trick's got a very underappreciated catalog when it comes to big matches. So people will hear that and might be like, really? Is that big of a deal? But go check out his catalog. That's pretty high praise. So I'll go top five, because they do have pretty good chemistry. I'll go top five, but top three is tough just thinking about those Ilya matches.
Yeah, the Ilya matches are special. They really are. But I have a sneaky suspicion this one is going to be great. Ethan has talked this up very much. Blood, you better see some.
He's gonna put his body through hell. He's gonna let Trick put his body through hell. He's gonna let Trick toss him and throw him through everything possible.
We need to see it. We must see it. I hope we do see it. I'm looking forward to it on Sunday. And that is our Halloween Havoc preview going down live in Hershey, Pennsylvania. We'll be back on Sunday night talking about the show and all that happened. And hopefully our predictions come to pass. Nothing too crazy here. Nothing too bold and audacious, but we'll circle back on Sunday and talk about it. But until then, before we go, just to mess with Scott, because he tends to be very unserious during this segment, across the land of Raw, SmackDown, NXT, maybe Level Up or Main Event, or maybe even WWE Speed, What was the best match Scott saw, most likely not in WWE?
Oh, man, of course. Listen, the best match that I saw, or at least that I heard of this week, was Tony Khan and the allegations of him being a kind and friendly boss to the wrestling world. I mean, there's just this, you just hear things about time being added, and apparently those were only things that Voldemort used to do, because he's an evil man, an evil, evil man. And not Tony K. Tony K wouldn't do that. That's Tony K. That's Special K. Special K ain't that type of guy, man. Tony Khan versus the allegations.
Wow. Special K is crazy, by the way.
Special K is crazy, but that's his new name on here. Special K is crazy.
It is. And I like Special K, but now I have to kind of revoke that out of my menu for breakfast.
Wow, I can't believe that kid. But yeah, that's probably sticking.
Yeah, I'm also hoping that the Lucha Brothers get their freedom papers sometime in 2025.
I'm going to tell you, Ray in there for not Mysterio, but Mr. Phoenix is there for a long time.
He's locked up, man, and he's probably not going to work one match.
If I'm him, I'm showing up to every single Dynamite and I'm eating all the catering. Eating good.
Mm-hmm. Lasagna, quiche, casseroles.
I'm taking food home. I'm taking pinto plate.
Pork chops, collard greens, cornbread, mac and cheese, cheddar biscuits.
We eating good.
Eating good in the neighborhood. Also, before I go, I have to give retroactive cheddar biscuits to Alex Shelley for finally making his WWE. Congratulations.
That's cool. Shelly?
Yeah, listen.
Is this another one of those weird ones like yes. Sami Zayn?
Yes, you have to really right. appreciate the aesthetic.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Okay. In all seriousness, it's now time to bid you guys adieu. Very fun show and passion discussion about women's wrestling, which I love. That was a lot of fun. But I want to thank my co-captain, Softy Scott Young, who is a little perky today because those Lakers won their first game. They're on a one-game winning streak. We'll come back next week and see how far they've come since that time. But thank you for joining me, Babyface Scott.
As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Had to shave for the King's first game. You got to be presentable when you approach the King, especially opening night. So. And the prince is here. So you gotta be on your P's and Q's. I didn't comb my hair, so that's why I got my hat on, but I did shave for the King.
Look at you trying to be all groomed and hospitable and decent. Good for you. Little Bronny. Well, he'll have his day. That is cute though. Father and son out there balling. Well, one of them is balling, but I digress.
This man Bronny getting a post-game interview and played 2 minutes.
Listen. Fourth father and son duo in sports to play as teammates in last 40 years. Not just basketball, sports. That's a heavy stat.
It is. That's crazy. It's crazy. This man was holding Bronny and when he went to the finals in Cleveland, and now he's playing with him with the Lakers.
Think about that. And it actually came to pass. He's playing with his son. Look at that. It actually happened. Well, that's a wrap for this week's wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. We'll be back Sunday night recapping Halloween Havoc for all of you guys and ghouls out there. Until then, enjoy the rest of the week in WWE SmackDown on USA this Friday, followed by Halloween Havoc on Sunday. Until then, for myself and Salty Scott Young, enjoy the rest of the week until Sunday night. Take care and bye-bye.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Marino is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Marino will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Marino thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.